Hello and welcome to another match reaction episode of Four Times in a Podcast. You join us at about 11:30 on Wednesday the 18th of August. Celtic 1-2-0 against AZ Alkmaar in the Europa League playoff. It was another great game for Ange's team. Kyogo got the first goal and a deflected James Forrest shot. Seen the second one going. All four of us were at the game and had quite an enjoyable night, I would say. Danny, I'll come to you first. I was out with you the day and then both headed to Celtic Park. What was your thoughts on your first in-person viewing at Ange Ball?
Feel like John Belushi at the start of Blues Brothers. I've seen the light. Celtic were outstanding the night. I think everybody to a man did their job really, really well. And that 11, I think, was it 14, 15 boys, maybe 16, ended up playing every single one of them. Was playing to it. The manager wants them to do. Thought one or two could have improved, but thought it's just a great night against a very, very capable team who at times we made look rather ordinary, and you can see something like developing that in the team at the club, and it's brilliant to see. And everybody just stands up. Nobody hides in that team anymore. And Turnbull, Rogic, McGregor, you wouldn't put that as a midfield. You would think it would go overrun. You would think that there's not enough legs, or maybe Turnbull and Rogic are mere ball players, but they don't go overrun. They maybe get opened up at times, like teams on the break, but we never ever look in any proper danger in games. And tonight, it was brilliant. It was just a great night. And I mean, it's only the 18th of August, but just what a start Big Andrew's had, and I loved every minute tonight. I thought Celtic Park was absolutely rocking. Between the second goal, after the second goal, I thought the whole place was just bouncing. And as I say, you can just see something building there at Celtic, and it's great. It's really, really great to see.
Andy, it was it was probably the toughest test we've had since Michelin'd. I know we obviously dropped out of the Champions League to Michelin'd, but this was the next real big test for Ange's team. I know we've had a few good performances against Hearts and Dundee and Jablonec, but this was a real moment for this team. I felt that they actually were able to put together a full 90-minute great performance. And I know we only scored two goals a night, but that used to score 3-4 and even 6 at times against teams. But I thought it was just a really big moment for the team, that the fact they were able to see that clean sheet as well, and it puts us in a great position getting into the second leg. But what was your thoughts on that, Andy?
I think it was a brilliant performance. Like you say, it was a high pressure game. They're nae mugs. AZ, listen, they done well last season. There's quite a number of good talented football players in their team. Even their bench was pretty strong when I seen they were bringing off that Jordi Clasier. I think that speaks volumes for the team that they've got. They're not a daft side, and they're probably the best, or one of the best that we'll face in the coming weeks. Until, no doubt, if we do manage to get into Europa League, we'll end up with some fucking one of the better teams in our group. But I was really, really impressed. I think there's so many good phases of play. There's so much that we're doing that you just, if you looked at us last season, you thought it was just never happening. The performances, he's churning out of players who look done. Their careers in the Celtic look dead in the water. For Alston to Taylor to Rogic, so many just completely look new football players. It looks like somebody's just, I don't even know. It's, honestly, it just says how much a manager who puts belief in you, and a manager who spends the time to work to improve your game. It just shows you what that can do and what can be achieved when that happens. To a man, brilliant. Kyogo again, I was saying on the way abroad to one of my pals, I was like, this boy is, at times I'm thinking, you need to stop doing this every game, because we're going to get to the point where there's a bid in January and we're going to not be able to not get back, because he's just, he's everywhere, he's infectious. Like, even the way he plays, the way he presses, he's been put out wide, and then it's late on in the game, he's put a shift in and you're seeing him fucking tracking runs or a way back to the left-back spot, putting slide tackles in, winning the ball, and you think, this boy's just fucking, his attitude is one of the best I've seen out of a football player. Like, he's hungry, his desire to score is there, but he's got everything else as well. And it's just brilliant to watch. But that was a really good performance, and we could have scored more goals. Aye, there was a couple of obviously very good saves for Joe Hart, the one at 0-0 where he saved it, and it went onto the post. But that's why he'd been brought in. That's why we needed a keeper, because ultimately keepers make big saves. They're just as important as your striker scoring goals. Like, we need somebody to keep the ball at the net, and that's what he's doing. And there is wee moments here and there. There is wee things that could be improved and will be improved. And a lot of these mistakes in maybe 6 months into the season, if we played that game again, it would have been three. It might have been four. Because things will change, players will get better. Like, the team are only going to get better for here. And then again, they're obviously linked with players, and I just think that I'm in complete agreement that there's something building here, and it really does get you excited. The football we play does get you off your seat. It gets you just thinking that I could watch this team play all day. You just get that feeling, that excitement, and like, just when you've got players like Kyogo, and even with Abada, I just love seeing him get the ball, because he just wants to get forward. He wants to go. He wants to get up the park and get in danger areas, take players on, and it's that type of football. But really, really impressed tonight. A lot of good performances, a lot of big performances, and I think a lot of them are really starting to get it, even at the end, obviously clapping all the fans, and I think Big Ange's loving it as well. And it's something that there was a lot of comments at the start with no getting the signings he was wanting and things not getting done quickly enough. But I think he gets us, he gets the fans, and he just gets that we're just desperate for that success again. We're just desperate for us to be the best football club that we possibly can, and to put in the best teams. Put the best teams that we possibly can, and I think there's going to be a lot of good times to come with him and them.
Aye, definitely. Tony, the listeners will be delighted to know that we're not speaking to you on a boat tonight. You were actually able to take advantage of a rule change and actually got back for the game, but what was your thoughts on it? I know it's the first time you've been at Celtic Park in a few games as well. What was your thoughts on Andrew's team tonight?
Oh, well, it was brilliant to be back at a full Celtic Park with my dad. A wee funny story, because I was away in Derry, I get my season ticket changed so that somebody could use it while I was away. So my dad organised that and gave me a new season ticket. We were walking into the turnstiles a day, he gave me the ticket, he'd actually gave me his, and I get in, he tried to use my new one, it didn't work, and he had to go to the tickets office and stand for 20 minutes. And at that point, I was thinking I'm going to be ranting and raving about this come the end of the night. But luckily, we won. But they didn't need to fix the ticket now. But it's just a wee side note. So he didn't get in until 20 minutes in. They missed the first goal. But it was brilliant. I loved it. It was great to be back in the stadium. I've harped on about it for long enough, how important it is. And great atmosphere. I think the fans really willed the team on. I think the fans are getting a lot more patient. I know a lot of people don't like us playing out for the back, but the fans are going to need to get used to that. But I think we understand why we're playing out for the back, and it's obviously to open up gaps and taking advantage of it going forward. I thought we were incredible. I thought the work rate was unbelievable. I think they're a really good team. I think they're one of the best teams we've probably played this season. I think you can see by their play at times. They looked really good for me. I thought they were a top team. And I think the way we pressed them, especially for the second goal, you've got Tom Rogic closing players down. That's not really something you ever see for him. He closes it down, Turnbull into Kyogo. He gets a great pass into Forrest, and Forrest gets the goal of the defender. That obviously Rogic had a big part to play in the first goal as well. His control, as we know, is exceptional. He plays a ball in, and it's a superb ball. But that's such a difficult finish for Kyogo, because he's on the move. He throws his cellar to it and gets it in. It's just, it's great to watch. As Andy says, we could have scored more, but I think we can accept we could have conceded as well. But that, we all know that we're still waiting on some reinforcements, which is fine. But overall, there's not really any player I could fault. Somebody said to me on Twitter, I think I must have put a tweet out to say Anthony Ralston isn't good enough to be backup. And at the moment, he's good enough to be the first team. He's been excellent. I can't fault him. And the thing with him is, he must know the amount of stick he got, and he seems just to get his head down and just put in the hard work. So I think it's massive credit to him, and again, massive credit to the manager, because a lot of people were questioning why was Ange playing him, why wasn't he trying something different, and he's obviously stuck by him, and we're reaping the rewards. So again, great credit to him. Kyogo's just, his pressing is just, I would hate to play against him. If I played against him, I'd boot him up in the air right away, and I think that'll probably come a week on Sunday. But he's just such a hard worker, and I mean, he must just be a nightmare to play against. So fast, so determined. Just another unbelievable performance. I can't believe the impact that guy's had. I think we'll probably be harping on about him for a long, long time, and I'm happy to do so. I thought Callum McGregor was maybe a wee bit exposed at times, but I think that was just the style of play and the fact that their passing was quite sharp at times and was quite difficult to deal with. I thought Stephen Welsh was outstanding. I don't know how many headers he won, but I'm assuming it was quite a lot. I thought Starfelt was a bit shaky, but you just hope with time he improves. And Joe Hart obviously makes a crucial save at 0-0. And then we get the first goal. That's what these big keepers do. And he's obviously talking to the manager with five to go on the post-match interview. These things, you can't really measure them, but they're very important in terms of keeping the confidence up and having leaders and winners in your dressing room. But I love being back. I thought it's a special European night at Celtic Park, and there's been a lot of them, and hopefully more to come. And I can't credit the manager enough. It's quite incredible how quickly he's get these guys to buy into his philosophy. I mean, it looks like a completely different team, but I think out of the starting 11, only four of them were signed by him. It's just absolute madness. Players you thought would never play for Celtic again, like Rogic and Ralston, even Welsh, you thought wasn't going to be good enough, and they're all putting in performances like that against, as I say, I think they're a really good team. I don't think the tie's done. I still think we've got a lot of work to do, but I don't think we'll change any. I think we'll go to Holland next Thursday and try and win the game. So I'm delighted with the first leg, and hopefully more to come next week. I would be, if we can get into the Europa League, I think it would be a major achievement for Postecoglou and the club. It was great to watch, and it was a kind of performance you came out going really proud of the players. There's not anybody, even the subs, though Edward was involved, was really unlucky not to get as a third. I thought McCarthy actually looked quite good. There was a few times he broke up the play at crucial parts. Who else came on? Sorrow, he came on for a couple of minutes, he was fine. I don't know if they made any other subs. Montgomery, he was quite unlucky as well. I thought he worked really hard and was probably unlucky not to nip in and get the ball on a few occasions. But overall, a fantastic result, another clean sheet, and we need to just keep going and keep making additions. Obviously, Juranovic is a partner coming in, which is great, because we do, even if Ralston's going to be the first choice, then we need backup if he gets injured. Obviously, with a stellar play, there's a lot of energy used. We need to rotate, so to kind of prevent burnout or anything like that. So everything's very positive now, which is great. And it's just one game at a time, obviously, St Mirren next. But I think the club are in a kind of positive place just now, which is great.
Aye, definitely. I thought we were fantastic. I thought McGregor and Turnbull were a wee bit off. I thought they both played a part in the victory and were very good. But I thought at times they were a bit sloppy in possession, and it was just so unusual. But I just thought the team, they just backed each other up the full way, like every time. Like I'm the same as you, I thought Starfelt was a bit shaky. I'll ask Danny in a minute because I know he thought it was Starfelt's best game for us. So be interested to hear from him about that. But no, I thought they were great. I thought, whatever you want to call him, Danny Ralves or Raldini, whatever. Honestly, he looks a different player. He's done what every Celtic player, it's the minimum you expect. But what he's done is he's just completely bought into what the manager wants him to do, and he's just gaining 100%. And as you say, Juranovic looks like it's a done deal. Should be in by the weekend. He's maybe flying into Scotland over the weekend, so hopefully he could be added to the squad for next week. But I just think it'll be great to have competition, because then you'll have hopefully two really good right backs to have a go at it. Welsh as well, fantastic. I genuinely thought it was one of the best performances for a Celtic centre half in Europe that I've seen in quite a wee while. I don't want to harp on about players that have left, but I can't remember that having a game like that where I fought in a European game that they've really stood out like that. I thought for the age Welsh is, he's really taking to that centre-half role. And when Julian is fit, or if we sign in our centre-half, then it's going to be a real struggle to get him out of the team. And that can only be to Celtic's benefit, because if we've got players like that fighting so fiercely for like positions that'll obviously benefit us as the season goes. Just that exact same as what Yusuf says about Kyogo. He's just constant. Like, his work rate's unbelievable. He's such an intelligent player. He's like, the positions he gets himself in are just brilliant. Tom Rogic as well, like what he done for the first goal was just superb. Like, it's just it looks like a new player, and this is a guy who, what, about a year ago we were looking to punt for a couple of million. I don't want to like bring it in doing too negative, but I thought Forrest was pretty poor. I know he got his goal and there was a massive deflection on it, but I thought generally he had a great shot in the first half, but other than that, I didn't feel he really contributed. And then as the game went on, I thought he was leaving Ralston quite exposed as well. That's just something that personally I really hope that Christie's back fit and it could go away Abada and Christie on the wings, because I thought Abada had a few sparks again tonight, especially when those one in the first half, that he just, everybody in my section at Celtic Park was off their feet, because he's just that type of player, that he's got that wee burst of pace. But no, it's a perfect way to go in to Holland. But the one person that I wanted to bring up, I thought he was quite unlucky when he got man of match, was Joe Hart. I thought, as we mentioned, the save he makes at 0-0 is just fantastic, and he makes quite a few good saves, and he was just going about his business very well, collecting crosses and that the night. And like, I think his impact that he's having on the full team is just like absolutely brilliant. And he's seen it on Sunday. Like, he charged out to speak to Ralston, and like, you've seen him speaking to Ange tonight, and he just looks like a fantastic teammate and like a real leader in that team that we've maybe been missing for the last few years, since we lost guys like Lustig and the likes, who, like, we used to have a team where you could easily point out four or five leaders on the pitch. But Joe Hart's been, I think he's been a brilliant signing, and delighted he got his clean sheet. But Andy, I know you wanted to bring something up about us playing out from the back. Like, this isn't something that is new to Celtic fans. Obviously under Rodgers this was similar. Like, Rodgers wanted to play at the back and have his keeper involved, but it feels a bit different, man. Like, you can sort of like, I'd never say it in bad against Rodgers' team, because they achieved incredible things, but I felt like it was a very accomplished performance against a very good European team, even with try play out from the back. And I thought that was maybe something that was missing from Rodgers' teams at times. But what did you want to bring up about the playing out from the back?
A couple of things. Just, I mean, like you were saying, that I think the difference is it's the way that Ange does it and the way Ange is deploying certain players. And we've spoken about already the way Greg Taylor's moved into the middle of the park a lot, and sort of the McGregor area, I feel like, when McGregor's moving on. I think it's probably just the difference in the way he's went about it and the phases of play that he's created, and the sort of the movements that he's asking certain players to make. But the thing for me, it was Tony picked up on a wee bit. And a lot of it comes with fans, and to be honest, it's something that's always bugged me. I don't know if you always pick up on it in games. And you would think by now, given that we've had, obviously, we had Rodgers for quite a proper period of time playing this type of football, and it's the minute anybody presses somebody in the back line of the keeper, there's so many people screaming for the ball just to get battered at the park. There's the amount of times I'll see a ball get passed back, and then your resounding sighs and fucking everything, and you hear, and they go on the players' back, and I think that's he's been asked to play like that. He's been told and informed, this is how you play. It's no batter the ball at the park and give the ball away, and it's just something that I can't for the life of me understand the why behind it. And it was like quite a few times tonight, and it's the ball gets played back to Starfield, somebody's pressed him, but he's just recycled to put it back to the keeper. And because this, obviously, I mean, a centre forward or whatever, has been close to stuff, it's like, oh, and it's all this nervy stuff. And I'm like, that resonates to the players. The players feel that. I was like, I can't get my head around it. And it really fucking bugs me listening to it at park. You're eating, fucking hit it, leather it, put it up at park. And I'm like, why? Like, they're being asked to play this type of football, this brand of football. And these are the people always going about Celtic being this great attacking football team. We'll let it happen. Let that happen. And it's just, it really fucking annoys me listening to it at times. I'm like, we're playing some exceptional stuff. There was a few times tonight a few defenders, played their way out of some really fucking excellent pressing. The team playing in the top division, Holland, are not going to be fucking mugs when it comes to pressing a game of football. They'll be well versed in it. And we've only been playing that way for a matter of weeks now. Granted that he's had to obviously change Lennon's philosophy. I don't know what the fuck Lennon's philosophy was. I don't think anybody does. But he's had to implement that already. And they've picked up on it so well. And there will be mistakes. And there will be times where there's a slack pass. Or there will be. But back them. That's the thing that really... I just wish that people would get that. Do you know what I mean? You don't hear that anywhere else in football, the big clubs who want to play and they play that brand of football. Like when Barca were at their prime, when the ball get put in it, aye, right, okay, it's fucking Stephen Welch at the back taking the ball, but the point still remains. It doesn't matter if it's fucking 17-year-old getting in there. Like, they back them, and that's what we need today. Like, you back them to do the right thing, and it's no their fault if they're incapable of doing it. The manager's trying to teach them that way of playing, but that's the way the manager wants to play, do you know what I mean? But it's just something I wanted to bring up, Danny, but I know you're wanting to.
No, it's just, I was going to back you up. I watched Dortmund last night and watched them on Saturday as well, and they were then playing out for the back and the fans were singing. Like, I've a song they were singing. But Dortmund were kind of dicing the ball about and they were getting closed down, but the fans didn't, you know, they didn't stop singing to gasp or worry. They just kept the beat going. And Dortmund played their way out and whatever, the ball got cleared or whatever. And I don't think we are good enough for it yet, but there's got to be a trust for the fans that the players can do it. And I actually thought tonight was fine. I didn't think we were in any danger. Like the night, there were a couple of moments where Starfelt and Welsh, like their pass to each other could have been a wee bit better than Hart. Like, was getting rid of it sometimes, but I didn't think, I picked up on it that there were the gasps, but I think the fans just need to trust that the players are trying something new and they're getting used to it, and they're definitely getting better at it. Like, there's no two ways about it, but I just want to agree with you that I think it comes with players getting better at it first, or it comes with fans kind of putting their horns up and saying, right, this is what you're going to try and do. Because it's inevitable that they are going to lose goals or they're going to give away chances doing it. But there's got to be a trust that it's going to lead to something like massive.
Aye, of course. I completely agree. Danny, I'll stick with the defensive now. I was speaking to you earlier. Like, I'm not at the point where I'm overly worrying about Starfield, but I just feel like most games that he's played, I think he seems to be caught for pace a bit and gets turned quite easily. And I thought there was two or three times again tonight just sort of beating. I know it's no like terrible opposition he's up against, so of course that's going to happen to defenders in games, but I don't know, I'm just interested. Like, I thought at times he was alright, but you thought it was his best game for us tonight. What impressed you about him?
I thought he was fine. Let me just caveat that by saying I was absolutely steaming in the first half, so my judgment probably might not be as good as it could be. But I thought the whole team, like, we scored at the right time because we kind of flew out the traps, but at the same time, so did they. And the first 10 minutes was awful nervy. And we didn't really settle at the back, but going forward, we thought that we could score, and we scored at the perfect time. Yeah, but I thought Starfield was fine. I can't really remember any proper mistakes. I mean, that one at the end when Ralston had a great clearance at the back post, like, Welsh is getting all the credit, but it was Welsh that completely lost as Altmar were closing in and goal. So maybe I think people maybe praise Welsh to one extreme and have to go in on Starfelt another. I thought Starfelt was fine. I don't think his passing could improve a wee bit, but I thought he looked a lot more comfortable. I thought he looked a lot better. Didn't he get dominated or that? And I thought he was fine. I thought Greg Taylor toiled on the ball a lot of the night. He gave the ball away far too often, but he keeps going, and he's got some engine, and he leads the press at times down that left hand side. I thought Forrest, just as you mentioned Forrest, I thought there were one in the second half where Forrest was in the left, and Taylor had got the ball and he was trying to play it down the line to Forrest, and Forrest was still on an offside, and everybody was going mad at Taylor. But I was like, there's no way Forrest should be there. Forrest should be like coming back to get the ball off him. But I thought Taylor toiled it on the ball. I think he's a good defender. He's bought into what the manager's trying as well. But if you're looking for negatives, you could maybe say Taylor. I mean, like, to take that next step further, we probably need a left back that's like a lot better on the ball. And I thought Starfield was fine. Everybody seems to think he had a horrible first half and he was better in the second. I thought he was fine. But as I say, I was riding the crest of dart fruits and vodka in the first half. So, it could have been push for all, I know.
I was just like I say, I'm willing to get him time, just as I said the other day, like, I don't think there's much behind them that could really merit challenging them for that place that they want. But Tony, it's quite incredible how, like, we would never come on this podcast and gloat, but like, it's everything we said last season about how you needed a change, you needed a new manager. It's incredible how much this has turned around and how quickly it's turned around. Like, I know, like, we obviously still dropped out of the Champions League, but next Thursday when we go to Alkmaar, it'll be a year to the day since we lost to Ferencvaros, and I think hopefully we'll come out of that having seen how much better we've got since that day a year ago. But I just thought it's incredible how much it's changed and how much the manager's unified the team. And I can't remember even the last time that somebody took a screenshot of what Gavin Strachan was doing or what John Kennedy was doing in the dugout. But I just wanted to just talk to you about how incredible it is that this has turned around very quickly under Ange.
I think you actually make a good point there in regards to Kennedy and Strachan. Now, they were fucking, people hated them more than they hated Lennon last year. And it was all about, we need to make sure the backroom staff are away. Ange made the decision. Well, he says he's made the decision to keep them, and he might also bring in his own staff. But I mean, I think it shines a light on Lennon, who I've noticed hasn't been in the media much. He was in the media right after we lost to Midtjylland. I've known since we started winning 6-0 and 3-0 and doing well, he's not been talking about it, but obviously that's not a surprise to anybody. I think last season everybody knew we needed a change of manager, and this is the kind of style of football we wanted. It was the same with Ronnie Dyla. We knew the time was up for him. At least he even fucking knew to sell. And we brought in Rodgers and got an immediate bounce. I think any manager was going to be an improvement in Lennon. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that, that whoever came in would improved standards. His standards were disgraceful. He was antagonising the fans deliberately and was allowed to really cause massive damage to the club. And I think we can only thank Ange for coming in, and he's obviously doing his best to repair that damage and trying to make us a kind of force again in an actual respectable club, whereas last year we were a laughing stock, and that was due to Lennon, Lobel and Desmond. So I don't think anybody's really caring about what Strachan and Kennedy are doing. You would be assuming they must be assisting Ange, and they must be helping him out. And at the minute, everything's positive. So I think as well, I mean, Kennedy has been he's been debated for years. Is he a defensive coach? He is. He isn't. He was brilliant under Rodgers, and then when it started getting done, when Lennon started falling to bits, we were focusing on Kennedy doesn't smile. Nothing to smile about. I wouldn't be smiling if I had to work next to fucking Neil Lennon. I'd be fucking, my face would be tripping me 24/7 if I had to work with him. So, no, I hope everybody that's at the club now continues to do well. And that's the exciting thing for us. We're nowhere near where Ange wants us to be. He'll still be wanting more signings, and he says it any chance he gets. It looks as though we'll finally get Juranovic. Hopefully we can get another centre-half in. And if Edward goes, hopefully we can get another striker. A few people we need to offload. Barkas, we need to get rid of him. It's just not worked for whatever reason. And it's best for both parties if he goes elsewhere and we get a transfer fee for him. Bain will be the backup, I would assume. Griffiths wasn't on the bench tonight. I mean, his career's over. Everybody knows it. It's, well, his career at Celtic's 100% over. Hopefully, if that can get resolved before the transfer window's out, that would be really positive for us, I think, because then you've got no kind of circus acts or any chance of something stupid happening with him or any negative press. We want everybody fully focused on just doing their job and getting on with things. Like Kyogo, for example, I can't imagine at any point we're going to have to speak about him being ridiculous in public or having any of these mad things where he's no fat.
Tony's fair getting his wire in Glasgow now.
He has. I know. I've seen he's been in IKEA and shopping about, getting to know the city. I've seen somebody else says he'll be the next manager. But no, I mean, like him, you're never going to. Postecoglou's never going to come up and say, oh, Kyogo's not getting fit. I mean, that's not going to happen or whatever else, if he's on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever. Anyway, so I think there's a few things we still need to do, but we've still got the time to do it. So again, we've still got a lot of hard games coming up. This was a big task tonight. We've won the first leg. And then next week, we need to go to Alkmaar. Hopefully, the likes of Ryan Christie, if he's fit, does he come right back in and Roggets or Turnbull drop out, or does Forrest drop out and he goes to the wing? Stuff like that. Again, I've said about trying to get new contracts. I've no doubt the club are maybe trying to work in that, because at the minute, I would rather Christie signed one than Edward. And I think Edward's a spectacular player. But Christie, just his energy just seems perfect for a Postecoglou style of play. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, Juranovic is fit for next week, but I don't think he's the starter. I think it would be very harsh to drop Anthony Ralston. And if you told me I was going to say that a month ago, I would have referred you for help immediately. But Kennedy and Stanton are fine for now. Don't see any issues with them. Shows you how much a useless manager Lennon is. Let's keep going, hopefully, and just keep winning games of football. It's so simple, but we'll just keep winning.
Aye, it really, really is easy when you just keep winning. Andy, talk about Sunday's game. Saturday's game against St Mirren. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Celtic Park. Last time St Mirren came to Celtic Park, they actually won. I think it was 2-1. They won in January. How much forward are you looking to that game now? Would you make changes given the heavy workload, or is it a case of just keeping the momentum going, make as little changes as possible going into that game?
I don't know. I think that, especially when it's so early on in the season, I don't necessarily think wholesale changes are major changes that are necessary. I don't really see why we should. I'm always made of the opinion that you sort of get the game won by a couple of goals, and then you can sub off your players that you need to take off. But I mean, I think they're the same token. If you were to turn around and ask sort of your Kyogos and Abadas and players, McGregor's, these guys you would consider starters, they tell you to fuck off if you say, do you want to play on? They said, absolutely, I want to be in that park. I want to be playing every week in every game possible. That's the opinion I would follow. A lot of the players are obviously trying to build up their fitness, like Barn Kyogo. I mean, I don't think that guy's ever been unfit in his life, but barring him, I think a lot of the players and the manager would probably tell you that some of them are still building fitness. They're still yet to be at that 100%, and playing games of football is the best way to do that. So I don't think so. Maybe one change if Christie can come back in, or if he wants to sort of try something to see what his team's going to be going over to Holland. Maybe that'll feature, but I wouldn't be tinkering too much by any means. So I would suggest it'll probably either be, if Christie's fit, him coming in some way, or else maybe even the boy Montgomery coming in just to try and sort of tick things over and see if there's. If anybody else can sort of take a chance and force their way into the starting lineup for the game on Thursday. But it's like, as you said, they beat us last time they came to, obviously, Celtic Park, and it should be a result. The players who were there last season are looking to rectify, hopefully by a few goals. I mean, I don't think St Mirren are any mugs. I think they've got a small budget and all the rest of it, but I do think they generally have recruited pretty well. They make themselves hard to beat. And with that boy McGrath in the park, they can score goals, so I don't think it'll be as easy a game as sort of Dundee were, for example, but it's a game we should be getting into looking, thinking, right, couple of goals, good performance, get the game done, and just get ticking over for getting into the massive, massive game next midweek against Antwerp again.
Yep, definitely. Danny, this game on Saturday is the type of game that led to us finishing 25 points behind Rangers in the league last year. St Mirren haven't started too well. They drew with Dundee in the opening day and then got beat by Hearts. They also got put out of the League Cup last week by Livy. Is this a case of Celtic being able to rack up another hefty scoreline?
Aye, it's not going to get better for St Mirren on Saturday. They're playing Celtic at the wrong time for them, I'm afraid. And Celtic will show them the proper respect. They'll show them the respect, and then I probably will on here. But no, it'll be another comprehensive Celtic win. In fact, Celtic will win by a few goals. And I think I'm right in saying this. Use may argue, but I think as a team, as a collective performance, I think since the first Michelin game, it's always improved. Maybe apart from Tynecastle because we get beat there, but I thought tonight was the most complete performance yet under Postecoglou. And I know I said it before, Darren. You stole my thunder. I said it last year, and you've said it this year. But some unlucky mob is going to catch us in the extremely wrong time and take an absolute doing. And that might be St Mirren on Saturday.
Aye, certainly could be, especially if we get an early goal and keep up this tempo. As I said, I don't think teams will be able to live with us if we come out with this intensity. And I know you kind of keep it up for 90 minutes all the time, but if you take your chances, then like, we've already seen a few games where Kyogo and the likes have had like a barrel load of chances that they've not taken. There will be one day this season, I think, that they take every one of them. Could it be Saturday? It certainly could be, but I don't know. I really fancy it to be another quite comfortable victory for Celtic. I think St Mirren will be low in confidence. I think they'll probably try and sit in and try and frustrate Celtic a bit. But I truly expect Celtic to be able to break them down and eventually just really capitalise on St Mirren's misfortune at the moment. But Tony, you're looking forward to the game?
I think we'll win 3-0. Again, I'm sure you're obviously just expecting a win. I'm sure Andy will have them well drilled. I wonder if we'll maybe rotate slightly, maybe start Edward up front and bring Christie back in, and if he's fit. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's a chance to, I guess, put a wee bit of pressure on Rangers. They don't play the Sunday. If we can get the 3 points and go three ahead, then is that what I said? Did I say Andy would have them well drilled? I meant Andy.
No fucking problem if I'm taking the team, Tony. I can tell you that much.
4-0 St Mirren if Andy's taking the team. Sorry, Ange. I don't know where I got Andy from. Fuck me. But I think we'll win 3-0. I think you'll play quite a similar team. We'll maybe make a few adjustments. And as I say, put a bit of pressure on them before they go to Ross County on the Sunday, and then we've got two big games next week. And if we can keep out next week with a win and a draw, I'll be happy.
Aye, you've went for 3-0. I'm going to go, I think it's at 1-5-0 actually. I think we might rack up quite a scoreline again. Danny, I know you predicted a heavy win. Are you got putting a scoreline on that?
Aye, I think it'll be 6. I think Turnbull will get 2, Rogic will get 1, Kyogo will get 2, and Ralston will score the last one. And at Celtic Park will fucking, the roof will come off when Ralston taps in the 6.
I'd be excited to see. Andy, any advance on 6 now?
I'm going to say 3-1. I think since we're getting goal scorers out, I think we're going to see another Abada goal. Edward, and I think we'll go for I'll go McGregor again, because actually, like I said before, I think he's going to notch double figures this season, and we'll just go Jamie McGrath to score St Mirren's goal, because, I mean, I think he's only got the scored goals for him, so.
It's a fully detailed prediction there for Andy. But I think we'll wrap it up. We will have a proper preview of the second leg, but I think we'll just want to wrap this one up. Fully positive pod, and give a wee St Mirren preview as well. Just thanks to everybody that's listening and downloading. We're seeing great numbers again this season, so it's good to know that people still listen even when Celtic are winning. We were the sort of doom merchants last year, but if you've not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please go to YouTube and search for Four Times in a Podcast. That's the number 4, and you'll find us. Just have a wee subscribe, and it'd be very much appreciated. And also, thanks very much to Manscaped for sponsoring this podcast. If you go to manscaped.com and use the discount code TRIM4TIMS, you will get 20% off all products plus free shipping. So that's a great offer that won't last forever. So yeah, make sure you take advantage of that. And we will be back probably Monday night, I would imagine. Sunday night or Monday night, just with a bit of a St Mirren review and Alkmaar preview, and hopefully have a few more confirmed signings as well to talk about. But aye, thanks very much for listening, and hail, hail.
Right, see you later on. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
See you later.